Well, good morning. Last week we were in Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira. And if you were here, you remember that the issue wasn't really the money. It was the performance. They wanted the reputation of full surrender without the reality of it. They wanted to look to people like they were all in while keeping something back for themselves. And that is a hard mirror to look into. Because most of us have done some version of that. Maybe not with a land sale, but we have presented a version of ourselves to the church that was a little cleaner than we actually happened to be on the inside. Today we're going to be in the same neighborhood. We're talking about something that's a little less dramatic than dropping dead in the sanctuary, so sorry about that, but something that quietly eats away at the same thing. The gap between what we want people to think we are and what we actually are, or what we're actually doing with our time and our energy. The series we're in is Proverbs, and we're saying that the fool in Proverbs, he keeps getting talked about, and he does terrible things. He does the wrong things. So don't be that guy. Don't be the fool in Proverbs. Today we're talking about laziness. And before you check out, hear me out, all right? This is not a productivity seminar, okay? This is about the soul. All right, so Proverbs 13 says, "The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied." I want you to notice what Proverbs says is being impacted here. Not your bank account, not your job performance, your soul. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing. The soul of the diligent is richly supplied. When I was in seventh grade, we had to pick an elective. And the only two that were left as an option for me were either band or what was called sports movement class. Sports movement class sounded way cooler to me than band. So when I looked to check that out, I found out it was taught by the dance teacher. It was run at the same time as the girls' dance class and was a dance class. So as a seventh grade boy, I chose band. I went in wanting to play drums. Oh, man, I can beat on some things. I wanted something loud, something cool, and instead I was told that as a school, we were a brass and woodwinds only school. So without asking me what I wanted, they handed me a saxophone. Now, nothing against the saxophone, but it lives in this giant case that I had to then take on the bus and find a way to fit it into my locker. Those are its own issues, right? But here's the thing. I went to every single class. I didn't skip class once. And I watched my friends that were in the class get better, and I didn't. Because when school was out, football and Boy Scouts and basketball and video games and even sleep were all more important to me. There were higher priorities than sitting there practicing scales at home. I wanted to be good. In the moment, sitting in class, I genuinely wanted to improve, but I didn't want it enough to actually do anything about it when no one was watching. My dad had a rule that we couldn't quit anything mid-season. So I finished an entire year not learning how to play saxophone. I still got an A, but I think it's because I showed up. But at the end of the year band concert, it was an auditorium full of parents who should have brought earplugs. And I knew next to nothing sitting down for that performance. What a band performance that was, let me tell you. And when it was over, my parents sat me down and said, we need to find a better use of my talents, which is the nice way to say, this ain't for you. I craved the result, but I didn't crave the work. And Proverbs 13:4 is saying that's exactly the problem. The word craves here in Hebrew is a real desire. The sluggard genuinely wants things. He's not apathetic. He's got dreams. He's got goals. He might have a vision board. I don't know, but the problem isn't that he doesn't want anything. The problem is he wants the result without the process. He wants the fat without the work. Yeah, you heard me right. Let me explain that one. The pattern of chasing results without process is a pattern that starves the soul. A soul that constantly chooses easy over effort, comfort over commitment, becomes thin and fragile and loses the capacity to handle difficulty. It can't stand up to the pressure because it's never exercised. A diligent soul, on the other hand, is richly supplied, has plenty. It's fat. Not because God loves hard workers more, but because diligence builds the kind of character that can actually receive and stand up to the things God and carry the things that God wants to give. We all know that guy, right? He shows up just late enough that he missed the setup, but early enough to eat. He has all kinds of opinions on how everything should be done and the least calluses on his hands from actually doing them. He volunteers for things and then quietly disappears when the work starts. He tells you all about what he's going to do, but somehow never quite gets around to doing it. We all know that guy. And the scary thing is, that guy is sometimes us. Proverbs 14 says, "In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty." Mere talk tends only to poverty. Not bad intentions, not wrong motives, just talk. Without follow through, plans without actions, conversation without contribution. You ever see senior yearbook quotes? If high school seniors get a little space in the yearbook to say something meaningful, something wise, something that transcends the ages because they're seniors in high school and have it all figured out, right? And there's one that made the rounds a few years back that was pretty popular and a little bit morbid, but honestly, it's pretty accurate. It says, "When I die, I want the people I did group projects with to lower me into my grave so they can let me down one last time." You laugh because you know what that quote is about. A group member who put their name on the project and disappeared, showed up for the grade, not the work, let everyone else carry the load, and collected the credit anyway. And the reason that resonates with us is because we've all been in that group. We've watched somebody do that. And we've even been that person a time or two or ten. And we try to pull the same thing as adults too. In work, in our families, in our spiritual lives. Just show up enough to look engaged. Get the social credit. Let someone else do the actual work. There is something seductive about talking about doing something. Right? You get You get some of the social credit. You post it on Facebook. People think you're engaged and you feel involved, but the work doesn't get done and you know it. And over time, it produces poverty. Poverty in your soul, poverty in your relationships, and in your contributions to the people around you. Proverbs 26 adds something interesting to this. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. That is a precise and slightly brutal observation. The lazy person isn't humble about it. He's constructed a very elaborate internal justification for why he's done the things. He has good reasons. He has good ones, he thinks. And seven wise men could disagree with him, and he would still feel like he was the one who understands best the situation. That sound familiar? We are really good at being wise in our own eyes about our own inaction. There's a modern philosophy concept called tomorrow trap. And I say modern because it just got a name. Kind of catchy, but the Bible has it right here in Proverbs 27. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. And this is not about humility, boasting, though it is about that. This is a specific temptation to defer. To put off until tomorrow what God is asking of you today. Think about streaming services. It's a beautiful representation of this. Somebody recommends a TV show and you add it to your list. And you fully intend to watch it, and it sits there for months, and you scroll right past it regularly, and one day you decide, okay, tonight's the night. I'm going to watch that show that I was, that movie that was recommended to me. It's been on my list, and you go to click it, and it's gone. It's been removed from the platform. The window closed while your show sat on the list. Low stakes example. I get it. Missing a TV show, not a tragedy. Some of you might disagree. It's not a tragedy, okay? But we do the same thing with things that actually matter. Think about you, not somebody else, okay? Think about you and what you should do. Think about the conversation you keep meaning to have with a elderly parent who keeps getting older. The apology we owe someone, but we're so close to getting around to it. The step of faith we've been meaning to take once things slow down a little. What happens when that's not an option anymore? Proverbs 27 isn't trying to make you anxious. It's being honest. You don't know what tomorrow brings. You don't know what tomorrow holds. The list of things you are meaning to get into is not guaranteed to be fulfilled tomorrow. And what about spiritually? We say things like, I'm going to get serious about my faith when this season of busyness settles down. Or I'll get more involved at church when my kids are older. Or I'll have a hard conversation with someone when the timing is a little bit better for me. And we say it so sincerely, and we mean it. But Proverbs says you don't know what a day is going to bring. The window you are assuming will be there may not be there tomorrow. There's a version of this that looks spiritual, but it's not. The person who's always preparing to serve, but never actually serving. Always discerning and selective in their calling, but never doing anything. Always waiting for the perfect moment. And Proverbs says, that's not wisdom. That is the tomorrow trap. And I have to be careful here. I know that. I have to be careful because there's a story in Luke 10 that gets used in ways that can make this point feel complicated. So I want to address that. Luke 10, starting in verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone? Tell her then to help me. The Lord answered, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. This story, these verses get used as a blanket endorsement of sitting still. As if Jesus is saying, stop working and just be with me. And a lazy person reads this and thinks, see, I'm the Mary in every situation. That's not what's happening here. Martha's not in trouble because she's working. She's in trouble because in this specific moment, Jesus is sitting in her living room and she is anxious about the wrong things. Jesus isn't saying never work. He's telling her that right now, in the moment, there's something more important than her to-do list. I am here to tell you, Mary is not your patron saint of inactivity. All right? She is the example of someone who recognized the moment, was in it, and responded to it. Here's the thing, if Martha had been a sluggard, Jesus didn't need to tell her to sit down. This passage isn't a permission slip for the diligent to rest. It's not an endorsement for lazy people to stay lazy. This is a corrective for people who've become so consumed with productivity that they can't recognize when God's right in front of them looking for attention. And this application goes both directions. For those of you that have used the I'm more of a Mary for not contributing, that's not what this passage is doing. And those of you who are running so hard you can't stop and sit with Jesus, I need you to hear this. This is people who serve diligently in a ministry but never get a chance to sit and worship Jesus. You need to hear Martha's correction. Most of us, if we're going to be honest, don't need to be told to rest more. We need to be told to stop waiting and start doing. Remember Ananias and Sapphira from last week? They wanted the reputation of full commitment without the actual cost. That's the one version of a gap between who we project ourselves to be and who we actually are. But there's another version that has that same gap. It's the person who shows up, agrees with everything, says the right things about faith and calling and commitment, and then does nothing with any of it. The person whose walk doesn't match their talk. Who's weak doesn't reflect worship. Ananias and the sluggard want something for nothing. It's not just one wanted the community's admiration without the sacrifice. The other wants the results of diligence without diligence. Proverbs is consistent. Mere talk tends only to poverty. And that's not just financial poverty. That's poverty of a life that could have mattered deeply. And, well, just didn't. Not because of evil, but because of what physics call inertia. Now, I want to look at the other side of this for a second. Some of you today are not lazy. You're exhausted. You've been working hard for a long time. In your family, in your job, at this church, and you are running on fumes. Jesus didn't tell Martha to never work again. He told her to recognize the moment, and I need to make sure that I'm not preaching a sermon that tells people who are already burning out to burn out harder. There's a difference between rest that refreshes and avoidance that atrophies. Rest is holy. Sabbath is a command, not a suggestion. And a diligent person also needs to stop and sit at Jesus' feet. Let their soul be richly supplied by time with him. The goal here is not workaholism, which I looked up and is a word. Not workaholism that is dressed up in spiritual language. The goal is faithfulness, consistent, engaged, present faithfulness. Knowing when to work and when to rest and being honest with yourself about which one you actually need right now. So don't be that guy. Don't be that guy. Here's a practical question for you to sit with this week, because remember, Proverbs is Christianity in overalls. It rolls up its sleeves. This is what you're supposed to be doing. So here's my question. Is there something God has already made clear to you that you've been deferring with good sounding reasons? Not something vague, something specific. A conversation you've been avoiding, a ministry you've been meaning to check out for 6 months, a habit you've been planning to start after this busy season ends, a relationship you know needs investment, but you keep putting it in the someday category. Proverbs says you don't know what a day will bring. The diligent soul is richly supplied. Mere talk tends to poverty. So don't be that guy. Don't be the one who had all the intentions and none of the follow-through. Don't be the one who was wise in his own eyes while seven people around could have told you that you are just standing still. As the band comes up, I need you to be the kind of person whose faith costs something on a Tuesday. Whose commitment shows up not just on a Sunday, but in ordinary, unglamorous work of the week. A person whose soul is built up not just by what they believe, but by what they do. That's the kind of faith that holds up when things get hard. That's the kind of faith that doesn't need to perform, that doesn't need to look a certain way to people around them. It just works quietly, faithfully, week after week. So lazy and full of excuses, don't be that guy. Be the faithful believer who puts in the work and realizes the benefits to his soul.